Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week is War Chamber. Is that a little bit melodramatic? Just the right amount? Okay, the green paint of the walls give me the thumbs up, so I think we're good. Yes, it is a one-bout card tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It is War Chamber. It is purportedly to be the final battle between Major League Wrestling and the Contra Unit. Will that be the case? We'll find out here soon enough. But first, a wee bit of news. All right, the big thing to come out of Major League Wrestling this week is the announcement of their return to Dallas on Friday, January 21st, for MLW Blood and Thunder. It will be at Gillies, a 3,800-seat arena in Dallas. Of course, tickets are available coming soon, actually. Well, they were available yesterday because, you know, recording happens like one day a week. Let's just throw it out there. So tickets were on sale at the time of this recording yesterday, 10 a.m. mlwdallas.com. There may be tickets available. I don't know. Check it out. Tickets are $10 on Eventbrite, so, you know, a reasonable price for a night of fancy family entertainment. Of course, the entire MLW roster will be there, but this will be a special occasion, especially for the Dallas folks, as the Von Erich boys are returning to the promotion. Marshall and Ross making their return to Major League Wrestling January 21st at Blood and Thunder. All right, it is time for War Chamber. As I said, this is a one-match show tonight. We are seeing the War Chamber match in its entirety, the only thing playing tonight. For those of you who aren't aware of what a War Chamber is, it is the MLW equivalent of War Games. MLW actually did hold the rights to War Games for a number of years before the WWE decided that they wanted them and made Court Power a nice little offer for it, and Court accepted, and so they made some changes to the War Games matchup and made it War Chamber. So gone are two rings. It is just one ring. The ceiling is open, so you can climb out the top if you so desire, but you shouldn't do that because the top is wrapped in barbed wire. The match itself contains usually 8 or 10 people, depending on the year. This year, it is 10 people with Team Alexander Hammerstone, which features, well, your MLW World Heavyweight Champion, Alexander Hammerstone, The Judge, EJ Nduka, Richard Holiday, Savio Vega for some odd reason, and a mystery partner of, he's not Dario, Old Habits Die Hard, Cesar Duran, a partner of Cesar Duran's choosing. They will be taking on the Contra Unit, and Contra is represented by Mads Kruger, Jacob Fatu, Ikiru Kwan, and two members of the Sendai Death Squad. Now, before we kind of get into the match itself, I just want to point out some interesting things, or things that are at least interesting to me. And that is the inclusion, number one, of Savio Vega. Not sure why he's here exactly, outside of, we have him, let's use him. He just kind of sticks out like a sore thumb on this team. And, like, don't get wrong, the team is kind of mismatched to begin with. But, like, Savio, I mean, at least, like, EJ, the judge, like, he's got an axe to grind. Like, he's trying to prove himself. Like, so you could probably argue that Savio's trying to make a good showing, but really, like, he hasn't even tried to really beat up Contra. Like, he just was just here. And, you know, got eliminated from that 12-man tag team match last week, too. So I'm not sure what he's doing. Of course, Holiday got eliminated as well, and he's a bigger part. But at least Holiday's, you know, a friend of Hammer's and has been feuding with folk. And then on the other side of the coin, with the Contra Unit, the inclusion of Death Squad members is also rather interesting. Especially in the lead-up, we've seen a lot of Joseph Samael cutting his, you know, usual Contra-style promos. And he's not here. Which, ironically, this is the kind of match like best suited for Samael. He, as a wrestler, is best suited for brawling blood matches. You know, he's a guy who likes to inflict blood and likes to bleed himself. So this is like the perfect opportunity for that. And he's not here. So I don't know what's going on contract wise, if that's it, or if there was a, you know, some sort of faux pas in the taping and he couldn't attend that taping or whatnot. But I just found that was interesting. And the fact that like Simon Gotch has ceased to exist in the Contra realm as well. So you have like two named members of Contra not available. Three, Daivari, but I think Daivari might have a contract somewhere else doing backstage work. But don't hold me to that, because let's just face it, I mostly pay attention to MLW. But I just thought that was rather interesting that we're going to have two nameless goons rather than, you know, some name value that Contra obviously has, especially because they're teasing some dissension within Contra, with Mads Kruger declaring himself kind of the leader and the general, and Joseph Samael had been the mouthpiece up until this time. But anyway, I digress. I didn't really finish the rule stuff because I have the attention span of a gnat. Or the lifespan, the attention span equal to the lifespan of a fruit fly. You know, one of those things. I don't know, science. Science is not my specialty either. Anyway, yeah, so we have one ring. We have 10 guys. We will start the match one-on-one for 5 minutes. At this point, as there had been a coin toss, and one team will get the advantage the rest of the night. The advantage basically means for the next 2 minutes, it will be a handicap match between the members of whomever wins the coin toss and the opposing team. So the match will start one-on-one, and then after 5 minutes, someone comes out, whoever wins the coin flip. So there's a 2-on-1 advantage for 2 minutes before the partner from Team 2 comes out. And we continue this process until all 10 folk have entered the ring. And at that point, we get what was called in War Games the match beyond. The match cannot end until all 10 folk are into the ring. And then at that point, pinfalls, submissions, or surrender counts towards victory. So, you know, you can just stomp on Brian Pillman's face all you want for 40 minutes, but you can't do nothing about it, at least victory-wise, until everyone comes in the ring. But, you know, never mind that. It's War Games. I mean, War Chamber. Anywho, so, we have an intro package kind of hyping up the event. Are you ready? Are you ready for War Chamber? Not yet, because we got some stuff to cover first. Anywho, that stuff to cover includes Cesar Duran coming out and welcoming the Renegades to the War Chamber event. He and Court Bauer agree on one thing, and that is aggressive expansion. And so, Azteca Lucha, MLW Azteca, and Azteca Underground, you know, whatever you want to call it, they got some shows lined up in Mexico sometime here in the near future, as announced, you know, last week, a couple weeks ago as well. So they are scouring the globe for the best luchadores to put on battle for us, the Renegades. So he kind of continues the announcement that he's partnering up with some Mexican promotions, get some luchadores, partnering with Crash specifically, but he does not name drop them. But he seems quite pleased with himself. Literally, mic drop. We go to this, to a pre-taped promo package from the 5150. The first part of it is totally incomprehensible because Julius Smokes is making machine gun noises. I would demonstrate those noises, but one, they're more annoying than I normally am, and two, I'm just really not very good at making those brat noises, so I don't. But they know overall, like once we get in there with a bunch of swear words and whatnot, that they've beat the snot out of Los Parks. They took LA Park Jr.'s mask. Pobrecito, poor little guy. And, you know, they made Homicide angry. Homicide's going to go get a screwdriver and shove it up somebody's butt. All that sort of good stuff that we expect from, you know, 5150 and Conan. All right, we get our upcoming events. Next week we have Fusion Thanksgiving. We'll get a kind of a card line up for that here in a bit. In 2 weeks, we have the Opera Cup Finals. It will be Davey Richards taking on the winner of Calvin Takeman versus TJP. In December, we have MLW Azteca tapings with The Crash. And then, of course, as mentioned before, January 21st, we have our taping in Dallas. This is all interrupted by Mads Kruger. He is talking about leading his soldiers into battle, the final battle, here tonight. This cuts away to the standard promo introduction clip for Big Beef Gnarls Garvin. He should be debuting soon for the company. Okay. So, before we get into our big match, of course, you know, I have people that pay me money to do this, believe it or not. So, I'm going to give you that standard old clip, plug in those energy drinks. I'd appreciate it if you go buy some energy drinks, because what's wrestling without energy drinks? And then melatonin to bring you down off those big piles of energy drinks. So, stay tuned to one of the sponsors. And
now, whether you're someone who works out, or, like me, needs to maintain focus and mental clarity, we could all use a pick-me-up. That's where Raise Energy steps in. With Refresh technology, Raise provides a hydrating, sugar-free boost of energy without the crash some other energy drinks have. You can find out where you can get Raise Energy near you by visiting www.repsports.com, and while you're there, check out the other products that Rep offers, such as pre- and post-workout supplements and snacks. And if you want some extra savings, order online and apply my discount code CASS, that's C-A-S-S, at checkout for 15% off your order.
You know, I'll be back. All right. Are you ready? Well, are you ready? Because this is War Chamber. It is time for our only event of the evening. Team Hammer taking on Contra Unit, the final battle for supremacy here in Major League Wrestling. Stalled for enough time, just prattled on incoherently for 10 minutes without talking about any in-ring action whatsoever. That's changing right now with the opened MLW Swerve Bro. We have a quick, you know, plug for our MLW National Openweight Championship match real quick. Yeah, we got that. We got Alex Shelley, Alex Kane, Zenshi, Myron Reed, and a mystery person competing in a ladder match for the MLW National Openweight Championship. We will also see Calvin Tankman versus TJP next week as well. Now it's official because there's a light show. If you guys are watching along right now, there is totally a light show in the ring getting us hyped up for the War Chamber. And we got the rules, so this is legit. And the first person out looks like Contra Unit wins the coin toss. Oh, with smart book in there. Contra Unit wins the coin toss, and they send out former MLW World Heavyweight Champion Jacob Fatu. Interesting choice, leading with possibly your strongest man to start the party. So it will look to be Jacob Fatu taking on, what's this? Dario Cueto, I mean, Cesar Duran, and a mystery person, Matanza Duran. What? We got the possessed beast, Matanza, here, and he removes the masks, takes off the jumpsuit, and it's a wild Jeff Cobb. Huh. We have Jeff Cobb here tonight at War Chamber. Sneaky, sneaky man. Who knew that Jeff Cobb and Matanza were the same person? But now we all know. And the former Dario Cesar, I'm just going to keep calling him Dario all night for no good reason. Even though I've known better and have seen Cesar in action for a number of months now. Still going to call him Dario for no good reason. Anyway, drops the Matanza key, and Jeff Cobb wanders to the ring, stares down Jacob Fatu, the timer begins, the bell rings, and we got some clubbering, Tony. Lots of clubbering back and forth. Fatu takes control eventually over all, because it's always good to have your heels take over first. But, you know, Jeff Cobb is a big, powerful dude, needs to get his stuff in, picks up Fatu off the top rope, and just goes corner to corner number of times, just ramming Fatu into the turnbuckles back and forth. Fatu's feet never lift the ground, never touch the ground. And like, that's a scary. I mean, he's a big dude. I mean, he's kind of short, but he's built like a refrigerator, and just hoisting a dude like over his shoulders and running back and forth. Like, the combination of cardio and strength that takes is scary. Like, possessed by the deities or no, like, that is just one scary dude that I don't want to meet in a dark alley. And we're just going to ignore the part where he's, you know, an Olympian from Guam. But to help balance that out, we get our first new entrant into the War Chamber event. It is Sendai Death Squad member number one. That dude is jacked to the gills, and like, I'm not sure if he's actually super tall at this point, or if just because Fatu and Cobb aren't necessarily the tallest folk. But he is jacked to the gills, though. Like, he's a pretty big dude in his own right. Comes in, gives Cobb a sidewalk slam, which, I mean, again, like, Cobb's built like a refrigerator, so he got Cobb up to hit that sidewalk slam on. And we just kind of go back into clubbering mode for a wee bit before changed our mind, go into computer break. But when we come back, Cobb is being crushed in the corner, and it is Savio Vega and his kendo stick. You know, I may question what he is doing here, like the Frank Zappa song says, but you can't argue with the effect of that kendo stick when it bounces off your shoulders, your knees, and the top of your skull. So that is how Savio Vega is going to start this here party, and then helps Cobb up, because teamwork, ladies and gentlemen. Because teamwork is important unless you're a member of DOS, whereas you just thrive on hitting your partner with a steel chair. So, we got the good guys taking over for a bit. In the corner, we have a violence party on Fatu by Jeff Cobb before Savio takes over and choking people with his kendo stick. Out third for the Contra unit is Akira Kwan, the master of the Red Mist. He does his karate on Cobb, and Savio takes everyone down and works in tandem with Fatu, whereas Fatu just like chucks him up into the air and lets him fall like some sort of bizarre weapon onto his opponents. Richard Holiday is out next for Team Hammer. The member of the Dynasty takes out Kwan and the Sendai Death Squad member pretty handily, but has some issues taking on Fatu, but out agilities him over the turnbuckle. They both scale the ropes, and Holiday hits, well, there's a move I was going to call it, but I'd rather not evoke that image right now, or that person. So, breaking out a middle rope swinging neckbreaker on the big man, takes them both out for the time being, at least long enough for Sendai Death Squad member number two to come out, and he just puts the boots to everybody. He's just stomping a mud hole. If you're on the ground and you're not part of Contra, you're just going to get stomped, boy, and yeah, that's kind of what he does. He just kind of stomps people until we go to the commercial break. When we come back, though, we're going to clear the ring. We got the judge, EJ Nduka, big man, 6'8", coming in, cleaning house, clotheslines for everybody, spine busters abound, and then the creme, the piece de la resistance. Of course, we have a very big delayed vertical suplex on the big gentleman of Sendai number one. So we really kind of get to see how big that dude is, and he's almost as big as the judge. So it's a big dude to be hoisting up there on your own. And big sort of vertical suplex, and then ends up like dumping both members of the Sendai Death Squad to the floor. So it's kind of like 4-on-2 now in the ring for all practical purposes, but luckily like half the group is dead, so it doesn't really matter anyway. But in the meanwhile, Mads Kruger comes out. He's having a big battle with the judge, and it's kind of a stalemate for the most part, at least until EJ gets distracted, allowing Kruger to climb to the top rope and hits a big diving clothesline on the judge. And this, of course, brings out the final combatant in all of this mess. Your boy, the MLW World Heavyweight Champion, Alexander Hammerstone. And big changeup, which he's kind of announced on Twitter prior to this, is dude's got tights now. He's been rocking variations of ripped pants since his debut in MLW. But now he's got, you know, proper tights to go along with everything. You know, dressing like a traditional wrestler. Yeah, so good on him, you know, change is good, and we got him switched up, so he's going to show off that he's not missed leg day. Anyway, Hammer comes in, of course, destroys everyone, hits a big nightmare pendulum early on Mads Kruger. Could have been the end of it, but doesn't quite go for the pinfall. Fatu comes in and works over the previously injured ankle on Hammer. Most notably, for those of you who haven't been paying attention to the product, during the match between Hammerstone and Fatu, Hammer done buggered up his ankle royally in the match, like, and it done swelled up pretty good, which is one of the reasons he didn't get to hit the nightmare pendulum on Fatu during the match. He had to settle for a TKO. The move, not, like, the match decision, of course. So it's been kind of a noted weak spot, according to Contra, and Fatu's going to be the one to take care of it. In the process, though, Hammer fights off the ankle lock and kicks Fatu into Mads, and they kind of have a moment where they're like, bro, what's up with that? What you laid hands on me for? And, you know, they kind of like, oh, it must be an accident. It's all cool. Mads attempts to whip Fatu into Hammer, who's in the corner. Hammer moves out of the way, but Fatu, being the agile beast that he is, goes for Whisper in the Wind. Hammer moves out of the way of that, and, well, Fatu done makes mistake number two and takes out Mads Kruger with the Whisper in the Wind. And during, like, the chaos that is going on with that, Akira Kwan jumps in and tries to take out Hammer. Doesn't quite work, though. Eats a pump kick for his efforts, and then channeling his inner Lex Luger, lifts Kwan up over his shoulders into the torso rack. No one can come to help because they're all on the ground infighting, or they're Sendai Death Squad members, so they're just there to look kind of doofy. And we got a submission. Akira Kwan gives up. Your match is over. The winners of the match, Team Hammer. And could this be the end of Contra? We don't know, but I don't know. Actually, it may be, because Team Hammer leaves, and Kruger and Fatu are having words. They're not terribly enthused with losing. Kruger is obviously blaming it on Fatu, because Fatu had the audacity to hit him on accident twice. Kwan tries to be the voice of reason, tries to settle everyone down, and Kruger pie-faces Fatu, and Fatu has enough of that noise, and just launches into Kruger. They has fight. Kwan comes in and just sucker punches Fatu, showing his allegiance to Kruger. And it just all breaks down. Sendai Death Squad gets involved, and they get varying demises, most notably with steel chairs being chucked around, and they get chucked around. Finally, like, security has to come, separate everybody. There's lots of screaming and lots of preening, and it does look like this could be the end of Contra as we know it. Meanwhile, as this chaos ensues in the ring, we go backstage into Cesar Duran's office. He is with the former Katrina, Carly Perez, who has a fancy new haircut, and it's like so fancy that I almost didn't recognize her. Like, it's a jarring kind of difference on that front. Not as jarring as Hammerstone and tights, of course, but still. They share some champagne backstage, reveling in the violence that had ensued. Cesar makes note of the art that they will be producing soon enough. Carly wants to see the canvas, and literally, like, we have plans for a ring pinned up to the wall. Get a close-up into that as the show fades to black. So, my expert analysis of everything. And some things I'm just going to throw out there, like, can be considered, like, truly objective, and others are just going to be my personal preference. But most notably, the thing I'm going to complain about as a person who loves violence in the realm of professional wrestling, I am actually disappointed by the lack of blood. I don't get me wrong. I'm not necessarily like, oh, there's a cage there, therefore there has to be blood. But, like, again, this was a pretty big feud amongst, you know, the folks. And there's barbed wire around the top of the ring. Like, I just feel like somebody should have been busted open. Like, but, like, that is a me complaint. I will also note, at a certain level, like, outside of the specific moment, like, where everyone entered the ring, Yeah, you know, everybody got their stuff in moment, and then people just kind of disappeared for the most part, outside of like some of the people that we consider like the main players. Like, we have this big moment for Jeff Cobb making like his MLW debut, or his first return after a number of years. I'm not sure which. Blame that on poor research. And like, so for like 5 minutes, like, we got some interesting things out of him, and then he disappeared. Like, we got nothing. Or, like, Richard Holiday, like, comes in, gets his stuff in, he's gone. Savio gets his stuff in, and we're done. Like, really, like, once the point, like, once people stopped getting their stuff in, like, unless you were Mads, Fatu, Hammer, and the Judge, like, really nobody else kind of mattered. And so I think the pacing was interesting on that part of it. So there really, like, I feel like there wasn't that much drama involved. Like, so on one hand, like, it was great because the time passed very quickly, which you never want your match to go on too long and people to lose interest. But on the other hand, like, I felt like we could have built to a crescendo, you know, if we worked things a little bit better. That being said, it was a schmoz, so I did thoroughly enjoy it. And so, you know, I'm critiquing my meal as I'm eating it, but I'm totally going to go back and eat it tomorrow as well. So that's kind of my analogy on that. But really, like, overall, fun show. We got some interesting developments, of course, with Contra imploding. So I'm not sure if this will mean a heel turn for Jacob Fatu, or what's going on with that. We've also noted in the past that Cesar has been in the ear of Mads Kruger, so he could be going back to his mercenary work, potentially, maybe being a heavy for Cesar. And then, of course, like, the real question in my mind is what's going on with Joseph Samael, really. Like, yeah, Simon Gotch hasn't been in the scene for quite some time. Daivari's floated in and out, but the mouthpiece has always been Samael, and then we have Kruger declaring himself the leader of the group there. So we got some interesting developments, and of course we got the roundabout of Hammerstone and potential challengers, because we know that Holiday has been promised a title match, and of course the Judge is in there as well, lobbying for a title match too. So where this will go, we will see, but we've kind of seen one chapter close, and of course, in the process, we get to see a couple chapters open up, plus, you know, whatever's going to go on with Azteca Lucha. So, in the meanwhile, let's just sit back, enjoy the ride, stop complaining about things. I've already complained enough for everybody. We'll just, you know, watch War Chamber again. It should be fun. Why not? I was ready. I can be ready again. Just, you know, give me 10 minutes. But I don't need to be ranting on about watching it again while getting ready to watch it again. So, that's our show for the week. Solid, solid match. Our War Chamber. I love War Chamber, despite the lack of blood. And otherwise, you know, it was fun. And I hope you had fun. Hope you're having fun listening to this. You know, if you have, stay tuned. Check out the best ways to help me out while I go figure out how to hit rewind on YouTube. So, in the meanwhile, I'll catch you all next week. Thank you for listening to MLW Confusion. MLW Confusion is written and narrated by Rob Kammer, but is not affiliated with Major League Wrestling. The opening theme is written and performed by Rob Kammer, and what you are listening to right now is Ruined My Day by Alan L. Schroeder. If you enjoyed the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Also, be sure to tell your friends, family, and enemies about the show. Word of mouth is very important to us small businesses. You can also get up to date with the thoughts and ramblings at the social media at the links in the description. If you'd like to support monetarily and help out, and upgrade our equipment too, by the way, you can in the following ways. First, our virtual tip jar is at www.ko-fi.com/Casanova. That is CASSONOVA. Or, for more bang for your buck, join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/Casanova. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to MLW Confusion early and ad-free, plus get weekly exclusive goodies. So be like the OGs, Maverick45 and Alan Schroeder, and check that out! Also, for your energy, sleep, and workout needs, check out repsports.com and use the coupon code CASS at checkout to get 15% off your order.